You're listening to The Oddscast, the original UFC betting podcast that's straight to the point. Hosted by leading MMA oddsmaker Nick Kalikas and MMA journalist Brian Heminger, they provide you the absolute best UFC betting info, picks, statistics, and analysis from the most respected authority in mixed martial arts betting. MMAoddsbreaker.com. Don't place your wagers without us.
Welcome to the Combaticast, presented by BetDSI. I'm Brian Heminger, joined today by leading mixed martial arts oddsmaker Nick Kalikas to break down this Friday's Combate 42 event, which takes place in Lake Tahoe, Nevada. Nick creates the opening betting odds for Combate events, so he'll break down all seven fights on the card, providing extensive analysis and a pick for the bouts after doing his film study and research for the event. Combate 42 will air on TV networks Univision and TUDN and the streaming platform DAZN this Friday night. Let's dive right in. Now, kicking things off on the preliminary card is a 117-pound catchweight bout in between Felicia McGallen, who is 1-0, and Lupita Godinez, who is 2-0. Now, Nick, where did you open this fight, and how has the public shifted things so far?
I opened Magellan minus 300, the comeback on Godinez at plus 220. Right now, looking over at the Don Best screen, I'm seeing minus 230 for Magellan. The comeback on Godinez at plus 179 right now. So about 2.5 to 1, a little bit less, kind of inching towards 2 to 1. More action, obviously, coming in on Godinez early on. I understand it, man. This is a high-level fight right here. You got two undefeated fighters. I know they're just kind of on the early start of their careers. Both have an extensive amateur career, though, but both undefeated as pros, and both are very complete fighters. So it should be fireworks. This should be another awesome fight. Both of these ladies bring it each and every time they come to fight. Both of them are tough, well-rounded, like I said. So I'm really looking forward to this one to start things off. You know what? The real difference here between the two, honestly, in my opinion, is Magellan has a little bit of length. She has a reach advantage. The skill sets, they're both pretty good strikers. They both know how to wrestle, obviously. They both have some jiu-jitsu to go along with it as well. I just think Magellan is going to be able to probably push the pace a little bit more. She's going to be the one inching forward. Godinez has that frame that's a little bit shorter, stockier, but man, I tell you what, she does pack a punch. I mean, she's got some speed. She has a big right hand she throws. She works well behind her lead jab. And again, she goes for some wrestling, and she does have a pretty good submission game. So it's not going to be easy, but I think Magellan is going to be the one, like I said, kind of using that length, utilizing her clinch game. I think she's going to be marking up Godinez a little bit more. And if this fight does go to the ground, I think they're going to kind of neutralize each other out there a little bit, but I think Magellan's going to be okay, and she might end up in top position as well, because I think she has probably the better wrestling of the two at times, or at least the better takedown defense. So we'll see how that plays out, because like I said, this should be fireworks. Both these ladies are definitely going to have success back and forth as the fight plays out here. And again, I do understand why everybody kind of is coming in more towards the underdog here, and Godinez, it's probably a dog or pass situation. But if this line does drop to under 2 to 1, then there's a play to be made on the favorite here. Make no mistake about it. I just think Magellan at this point is the better fighter. And I think, again, her size, her length is going to be the biggest factor here. And I think it probably hits the scorecards with her winning a close competitive decision. So again, kind of check out where the line moves. But I think it's, as it stands right now, and as it's inching lower towards the underdog, I think it's going to be a favorite or pass situation.
Now moving up to the welterweight division, we have Aaron Armijo, who is making his professional debut, taking on Owen Craw, who is also making his professional debut. Now, Nick, what's the MMA oddsmaker's perspective on this one?
I opened Craw minus 165, the comeback on Armijo at plus 125. And right now, looking at the Don Best screen, it is Craw about minus 160, the comeback on Armijo at plus 130. So line margins have tightened up a little bit, and there is two-way action coming into this fight. Nothing significant yet to move the line drastically either way. This is going to be an awesome fight. Again, great matchmaking by Combate here. I mean, they have two talented prospects going at it here. I mean, if you've checked out Craw fighting at all, for those of you guys that are listening to this podcast, you know that he's a beast. I mean, this guy, he has a college wrestling background. He's physically strong. He's got that kind of grinder, grappler type of style, and he's so dominant on the ground. I mean, I believe so far he's 3-0 as a professional in all three fights he's faced. All three fighters he's faced, he's defeated under a minute and a half or so, something like that. So he's just went out there and just destroyed everybody. I mean, it's hard to stop him. And he's kind of, I don't want to say one trick pony, but that's it, exactly what he does best. And everybody knows he's going to do it. And it's hard to, like I said, it's hard to stop it. But Armijo, on the other hand, if anybody could kind of maybe put a wrench in Crawl's plans is a guy like this. I mean, he's a solid young prospect, and is right. I really like what I see watching him on tape. He's fast. He's strong on the feet. He's got decent movement. His variety of attack on offense is something to watch. I mean, he angles well. He has spin kicks he throws at you. And then when you try to take the guy down, he has, typically speaking, he has good balance, overall decent takedown defense, and he scrambles well. He fights at a real high pace. He's relentless, and he's really exciting to watch. I mean, so that's why I'm looking forward to this fight, because I think Crawl typically bullies most of his opponents around and, like I said, gets the job done pretty quick. I think Armijo is going to be able to survive some of that. And as the fight progresses, it's going to get interesting, and Armijo could be a live dog here. So that's why it's going to be intriguing here, because, like I said, Armijo, I think, is honestly the better overall fighter. He's a little bit more technical across the board, but can he kind of stifle Crawl's attack, and can he neutralize that ground game and try to turn things around and possibly take over and finish Crawl as the fight progresses? I think he probably can. We'll see how it goes. And again, the movement here is where it's going to be at as far as line move goes. If Crawl creeps up even more by fight day and we're seeing a big underdog price on Armijo, definitely stab at him. I think he's going to be worth it. Or if the line drops down to more of a pick 'em, then it's going to be a play on Crawl, because I think Crawl's wrestling, again, his just ground game is so dominant at times, and he's so strong. It's just hard to really, like I said, neutralize and control this guy. So for me, it's a dog or pass situation where it's at right now. Let's see what the betting public does overall and where the line goes. But I like both of these prospects, and great job by Combate putting this fight together.
Now, moving up to the middleweight division, we have Cole Jordan, who is making his professional debut, taking on JJ Torres, who is also making his professional debut. Now, Nick, where did you open this fight, and how has the public shifted things so far?
I opened Jordan minus 155, the comeback Torres at plus 115. And right now, looking over at the Don Best screen, we are seeing minus 150, plus 120s out there again. So this is another spot where line staying steady, 2-way actually coming into this fight. Nothing crazy so far. And it is a tough one. I mean, there's not a lot of information. I mean, let's get into it right away. Both these guys are making their pro debuts, so not a lot of information on these guys as pros. Obviously, nothing is pros, but I'm saying even as amateurs, they do have extensive amateur backgrounds again. But as far as footage goes, it's going to be harder to find stuff on Torres for sure. But looking at his background, I mean, the guy is definitely a finisher. He's got 8, I believe, of his 9th win coming by KO. He brings a lot of power to the table. He does have some wrestling and some jiu-jitsu. Defensively is my biggest concern with Torres, though. He's been knocked out 3 times, submitted 3 times as well. But he's fought under the King of Cage banner. He's got some decent experience, and he's been in there for a while. He actually trains with Joey Roquette, who is in the main event on this card as well. So, you know, I think he's going to be ready to fight. He's going to come in prepared. And again, I think he's got a well-rounded game with a lot of power, and he's going to be dangerous. Now, Cole Jordan, there's a little bit more footage and more information out there. Again, he's got an extensive amateur background as well. He is 4-2 as a pro right now. He's well-rounded. I mean, I like what I see. He trains at Extreme Couture. He's got a developing skill set in his own right, but the guy is an aggressive fighter. He likes to push forward, has some okay striking ability. He does have a grinding style, though, as well. He likes to get the fight to the floor often and utilize his ground and pound a little bit. And if submission-wise, it's okay. I mean, I don't think he's a fish out of water or anything on the ground, but again, I think that's still something he needs to work at. I mean, from top, he's not bad at all, but he's not going to be a huge submission threat either way in this fight here. So again, I think there's a lot, still development for these guys to really keep on improving in their careers both ways. So they are both flawed. I think Cole Jordan is a little bit more trustworthy in this spot, though, if anything here. I think that as this fight progresses a little bit, I see him being the more conditioned fighter. I see him getting top position. And I think defensively, he's a little bit more sound. Well, so obviously this is not a confident pick for me either way, but I'm leaning a little bit more towards Cole Jordan, but it's not a bet you can make, though, as far as the betting window goes. Cause again, there's just not enough information out there to really justify a play or not here on this fight. So for me, I lean Cole Jordan again. I just think he's a little bit more defensively sound, but this should be another fight that's exciting. I mean, I think it will get a finish, obviously. I mean, these are two big boys that are going to come in here, bring a lot of power and finishing ability in there. So it's going to be fireworks as well. So the pick is Jordan, but be careful if you are touching this fight.
Now, dropping down to the lightweight division, we have Jose Luis Verdugo, who is 9-8, taking on Eric Sanchez, who is 9-4. Now, Nick, what's the MMA oddsmakers' perspective on this one?
I opened Sanchez -325, the comeback on Verdugo at +235. And right now, looking at the Donbass screen, we're seeing about -315, +238, about 3-1s out there as well. So this line is staying, holding steady, and I think it's appropriately set. I mean, you have two savvy veterans going on here. Obviously, Verdugo is the more experienced vet of the two. He's a little bit older. He's 35 years old. Sanchez is coming in. He's the younger fighter to 28. But again, both of these guys have faced some decent competition. Both of these guys are Combate America's veterans, so they've been in the cage. Obviously, before here, they're going to feel comfortable right at home, and they're both really decent fighters. If you look at Verdugo's resume, I mean, a lot of those losses, he's a 9-8 fighter, but a lot of those is have been to nothing but studs. I mean, very good high-level competition. I'm talking about Johnny Case, a former UFC fighter, of course, and guys of that kind of nature here. And, of course, Sanchez, I mean, you could say a lot of the same things for him as well. I think Sanchez, he has a pretty solid background. He's built up himself a nice resume. He's coming off of a pretty decent win over Velasco. Before that, though, he fought the likes of Julian Arosa, another UFC veteran. And that fight with Arosa, man, he was doing really good. Sanchez was actually winning that fight. He ended up catching a knee that busted him open and kind of changed that complexion of the fight. But you could tell, I mean, go back and watch that fight. It's available. You guys will find it out there. Sanchez was hanging with Arosa. In fact, he was doing really good. He was winning that fight up until that kind of happened there. So Sanchez is able to compete at the highest level of competition. I think here what you're going to see is kind of a back and forth battle. I mean, again, Verdugo just doesn't go out there and get destroyed too often. He's going to be able to hang in there. He's a pretty good slick striker on the feet. He's experienced. Like I said, he's got a little bit of power. He's got some solid boxing, clean technique. He's got some nice calf kicks that I've noticed as well. I mean, if you are getting in the cage with him, you definitely have to prepare for his low kicks, because they could definitely be a thorn as the fight goes on a little bit. So Sanchez has to be prepared. But overall, again, Verdugo is a very solid competitor, but he's not going to blow you away. He's not going to come out there and just dominate you with his striking or his wrestling, right? So I think that's where Sanchez can do a little bit better. I think Sanchez is a little bit more of the aggressive fighter here, pushes a higher pace a little bit, and he could do a little bit more damage. I mean, he's tough himself. He has a solid chin. He could definitely heat when it comes back at him as well overall. So I like that from him. So he's a really tough, solid fighter. He scrambles well on the ground. He's got decent jiu-jitsu skill. So I just think he's going to be a step ahead of Verdugo, and I think he is a better fighter. So as this fight plays out, I'm expecting it, both guys to kind of push each other, test each other a little bit. But I really do think that Eric Sanchez is the better fighter. Although I have a lot of respect for Verdugo, again, both these guys should be back and forth in this fight, but I think it's Sanchez or pass situation here. So let's see if the line drops a little bit more. Look at Eric Sanchez possibly as a play. Or if you're looking to parlay somebody, I wouldn't kind of fault you for throwing Eric Sanchez in a parlay or so with some other sports or other fights this weekend as well. So for me, I do like Sanchez in what should be an exciting fight.
Now dropping down to the women's bantamweight division, we have Marilia Fonta, who is 3-0, taking on Chelsea Chandler, who is 2-1. Now, Nick, where did you open this fight, and how has public shifted things so far?
I opened Chandler -190, the comeback on Moraes at +150. And right now, looking over at the Donbass screen, we are seeing Chandler all the way up to -260, the comeback +197 or so. So more action coming in Chandler's way here. You know what? I'm not that surprised. I wasn't sure which way the public action was going to come. Race is a very talented fighter. She has a lot of hype behind her. I mean, she's a talented striker, a K1 kickboxing background type, but elite level striker, right? And she has a bit of a ground game to go along with it. So obviously, that's the issue, though. I think that a lot of people are going to probably question Race's ground game in this matchup against Chandler. Now, Chandler is not just a ground practitioner, though. She does train with the Diaz brothers, with Nick and Nate Diaz and Cesar Gracie Academy. So obviously she has some good ground. She has some wrestling, but she's a typical Gracie type of fighter, though, man. She's in your face. She likes to strike. She likes to stand and bang as well. She has a little bit of power. So she's a very complete. So again, I get it. I mean, Chandler is one of these ladies that, I mean, if you look at her fights in Invicta, she's had some success there. She's faced decent competition. And I think she got better fight, by leaps and bounds. So you could really see a lot of good in Chelsea Chandler. I think both of these ladies right now, honestly, could send to the UFC bantamweight division and give a lot of the female fighters on the roster right there a lot of problems. They're ready, basically, is what I'm saying, to compete at the highest level. So we're going to see a high level fight here. and I'm really looking forward to it. I think it'll go back and forth again. I think Moraes overall is a little bit of the better striker. She's more technical. She's willing to exchange in the pocket, and her defense really isn't that bad. I mean, a lot of times these fighters that are willing to exchange in the pocket and eat some punches or whatnot, they get marked up pretty bad, you know, when they're kind of dishing it out. But she does tend to actually be safe in the pocket at times as well. She moves her head pretty decent, and her defense holds pretty well overall. So I think that Moraes is going to give Chandler a lot of problems on the feet. I think Chandler does have a little bit more power overall, though. She might be the stronger fighter. She's going to have a little bit of physical size on Moraes as well, so that might be a problem. But again, skill set wise, Moraes is the better fighter on the feet. She's going to be able to land a little bit cleaner and give Chandler some problems. But what's going to come into play here? Obviously, Chandler's kind of a bully. She's going to want to push Moraes against the cage. She's going to want to look for some takedowns. And on the ground, that is, Chandler has the best path to victory, and I think she probably does take it there. So again, I understand why the action came in that way. This is going to be another outstanding fight. It'll go back and forth. But as the line progresses, I think you guys need to be cautious, because I think you guys are underestimating Race a little bit. She does, even though she has that elite level strike, like I said, she's been working on her ground game, and she is improving in that area as well. So if she can kind of neutralize Chandler, not get taken down, it's going to get interesting on the feet. So as the line keeps on climbing up, be careful. But I am going to personally, I'm going to pick Chelsea Chandler, because I do think she is the more complete fighter. But as Race keeps on climbing up, I'm not going to bet her, though. I would stay away from it, because Race is definitely a lot more dangerous and more capable than people are giving her credit for right now. And awesome.
Now, moving up to the featherweight division for the co-main event of the evening, the vacant 145-pound title is on the line. We have Andres Quintana, who is 18-2, taking on Bruno Canetti, who is 8-6. Now, Nick, what's the MMA odds maker's perspective on this one?
I put Quintana -600, the comeback on Canetti at +400. Looking over the Don Best screen right now, we've had some action on Canetti, because Quintana's all the way down to -414, the comeback on Canetti at +301. So from 6-1 down to 4-1 on Quintana. But we are seeing some action back in Quintana as well, because the line's kind of been moving back and forth a little bit. This is an awesome fight, another one. I mean, obviously, this is the featherweight title for Combate Americas, and this is a rematch. I mean, if you look back at their first fight, which is, again, available online, I urge you guys to check it out, it was fireworks. I mean, Canetti came out there and gave Quintana all he could handle early on in that fight. But Quintana eventually took over, and he was able to, you know, kind of expose Canetti for what I think is going to probably happen again. I mean, again, I have a nothing but respect for Canetti. I think he's a great fighter. Obviously, his brother, his older brother, is a former UFC veteran as well. So it's in their blood. I mean, they're really solid fighters. I mean, on paper, if you look at his record, maybe it's not that impressive at 8-6. He's almost a 500 fighter, but he is, again, better than his record indicates for sure. Canetti is. I mean, he's physically strong for 5 pounds. He's got big power in his hands and his feet, really. I mean, if this guy just connects with you, you're in some trouble if he connects clean. And again, Quintana has faced it, and he's felt the power, I mean, you know, straight on directly in their last fight. So he knows exactly what he's in for here. He's shown some decent takedowns, Canetti has as well. He's got some okay wrestling, and I'll tell you what, he's got some vicious ground and pound from the top. So that said, he's not really a huge sub threat overall, though, I think overall. And again, I think what he could get exposed to his chin. He's hittable. And I think that's kind of a problem. Even though he's only been knocked out once in his career, he's been tagged. He's been dropped in other fights as well. And defensively, he's been submitted as well. So I think defensively speaking, Canetti is a little bit vulnerable. And I think that's where he's going to get in trouble, especially as the fight progresses. Early on, like I said, I mean, offensively, the guy has it. You got to be careful. And Quintana, he has to be cautious here. But Quintana, I think, is a very talented fighter. Obviously, he's a former Tough 22 veteran. For those of you guys that watched the show, he lost to Tan Lee on the show by, I believe, a second round KO. That was a pretty good fight. Man, Tan Lee is a heck of a striker. Quintana has improved quite a bit since then. And, I mean, that's what he excels at the most as well, in my opinion. He primarily likes to strike, and he's very good at doing so. I mean, he has a little bit of length through the division overall. He's very effective with the striking, solid boxing, decent kicking game, a decent clinch game. He throws spinning shit as well. I mean, his elbow in his last fight that he had was just phenomenal, the timing of it as well. So I like what I see with Quintana. I mean, his takedown game is decent. He's got those body lock trip type of takedowns. That's usually his preferred method. And overall, he showed some decent takedown defense and ground awareness as well. So I think he's a pretty complete fighter. He does obviously have some defensive flaws. He's been tagged in fights and he's been rocked. Obviously, again, Kennedy hit him last time, hurt him early on in that fight. But I think Quintana is one of those guys that can take the punishment. Even if he gets rocked early, he recovers fairly quickly and he's able to continue. Whereas Kennedy, the problem and the difference here is I think if Kennedy gets in trouble, Quintana could finish him, where Quintana could probably recover if that's the case again. So as far as the betting window goes, though, I understand why the early action came into Canetti. It's a dog or pass situation for sure. I opened it high because this is, again, Quintana would be another fighter I think a lot of people would be rushing to the betting window to kind of throw in parlays or whatnot. So I was hoping some early action came in on the dog here, and that's exactly what happened. But we are getting bet back the favorite, and again, and we are going to get some parlays back as well. So I think overall, when this fight actually starts, the sportsbooks are going to be fairly even in a matchup like this, despite the high line here. So I like that. Like a spot. That's going to be safer for this type of matchup here. I do think Quintana is going to win it, but it is a tough one to bet. So as the line keeps dropping, though, I think Quintana, again, you might be able to throw him in a parlay or so, depending on what price you get, because I do think he wins this fight. So it might be a dog or pass situation out there, and I agree, again, with the opening line coming in that way. But overall, it's hard to believe for me that Quintana is not going to win this fight. So despite there being a little bit of value possibly on Kennedy, I do think Quintana wins, and I think he gets the job done inside the distance again. So Quintana will be the new featherweight champion, in my opinion.
Now moving on to the main event of the evening. In the bantamweight division, we have champion Gustavo Lopez, who is 10-4, putting his 135-pound belt on the line against Joey Ruquette, who is 7-2. Now, Nick, where did you open this fight, and how has the public shifted things so far?
Up in Lopez -500, the comeback on Ruquette at +350. And right now, looking over at the Don Best screen, again, Lopez is down to -473, +312 on Ruquette. So line margins have tightened up. There is more action coming in Ruquette's way. Another similar type of line to what we were just talking about. This is for the bantamweight title, though. Of course, for Combate Bantamweight title, and Gustavo Lopez is the Combate Bantamweight champion, a heck of a fighter, so we should get that off the rip right away. So this is another title fight, and again, similar line setting as the last fight with Quintana and Kennedy, and I think it's a similar situation. This is another rematch, actually. Both these guys had a fight, again, that's available online, you guys can check out. In their first meeting, it was close. Round one was very close. It was back and forth. But then round two, the complexion changed a little bit, and Lopez was able to get it done there. So again, check it out. It's available online. Getting into this fight, though, again, both very talented fighters. If you look at Ruquette, starting his career, he was more of a kickboxing-based fighter. I mean, that's what his background is. He's a very good striker. He's got some length again for the weight class overall, and he was able to utilize his striking ability and do okay. But he's become a lot more of a complete fighter. And I think when they first met the first time around, I think that Ruquette was kind of obviously finding his and he was getting a little bit better. He had a little bit of experience, but his ground game was not where it's at right now. I mean, he's taken some huge steps in that direction for sure, in a positive way for him. So, I mean, you could look at his fights since the first Lopez fight, and you could tell his wrestling has improved a lot. His submissions have gotten a lot better as well. So he's not the same fighter he was when he fought Lopez, but you could say the same thing for Lopez as well. I think Lopez, he's gotten better. He's gotten more confident. Obviously, he's wearing the strap right now as well. So mentally, he's never been better. He knows he can beat Ruquette. He did it before, so he's confident he could do it again. So this is going to be another great fight, and why they kind of made the rematch, because man, it was fireworks the first time, and it's probably going to be fireworks again. I mean, it's definitely going to live up to it. And another spot at the betting window where it's a dog or pass situation early on, and I kind of made it that way because, again, Gustavo Lopez is going to be the one that's going to be taking a lot of the parlay action at the books. And because I do think it's another matchup where it's going to be competitive back and forth on the feet, especially because Ruquette can hang with a lot of these fighters with his striking ability for sure. He does have a bit of a chin issue again. I mean, he gets tagged, he gets rocked a little bit, and that's a problem. Defensively, he gets hit a little bit too much for my liking, but offensively, the guy can hit. The guy mixes things up well. He's got a good clinch game, and he can give Gustavo Lopez some problems. Gustavo Lopez, though, I think is the better overall fighter. He does have some good striking in his own right. He has some punching power. I mean, if he connects again, he's the type of fighter that can put you down right away. It's his wrestling game and it's his grappling game that I think trumps Ruquette in this fight, and I think that's what's going to get it done. Once a fight hit the floor last time in their fight, you could tell who the better fighter was. I mean, again, leaps and bounds over Ruquette. Now, even with improvement that I just mentioned, I still think there's a huge discrepancy along the lines of Lopez having a dominant ground game. And I think he can get it back to the floor, even if it's not going to be easy for him, because Roquette's takedown defense is getting better. I think eventually he does hit the floor. And again, his ground and pound and his finishing ability for a guy like Gustavo Lopez is off the charts. So I like what I see from Lopez. I think he probably does get it done again. Who is a very good Joey Roquette. I mean, the guy's a very talented fighter, and I think he's going to definitely be game and in this fight as long as it lasts. So I think it'll be back and forth in another great fight. But my pick is Gustavo Lopez, and in my opinion, I think both of these guys, both of the favorites, kind of come through here and win the title. So a two-team parlay with both these guys for fun to watch the fights wouldn't necessarily be a bad thing, because I do think they both come through. So from top to bottom, I mean, like I said, every fight on this card should deliver. They're well-matched, and it's going to be an exciting night of fights. So make sure you guys don't miss Combate 42 Lake Tahoe.
So that'll do it for a full event breakdown for Combate 42 in Lake Tahoe. Special thanks to BetDSI. Good luck, everyone, and hopefully the betting gods are on your side this Friday.